Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. Always wonderful to be with you on a Wednesday afternoon. We're going to be looking at this important time of the year. As we all know, we're in the month of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. The month of Adar, we increase in our joy, in our simcha. And of course, the focal point of Adar is the festival of Purim, is the celebration of Purim. Purim is going to be next Monday night, and Tuesday is the festival of Purim. And let's talk a little bit about some of those ideas, very important ideas for all of us to be aware of, to all of us to be thinking about at this time. So the Shabbos, the Shabbos before Purim is always called Shabbos Zachor. Why Shabbos Zachor? Because there's a Torah commandment to read from Parshas Zachor, to read about, to Zachor means to remember. God wants us to remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people when they came out of Egypt. When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, so Amalek attacked the Jewish people, and we are supposed to remember that at least once a year. And the sages said that we should do so, remember that on the Shabbos before Purim. So that's this Shabbos. So you'll notice in Shul that the Haftorah, the Maftir and Haftorah are both different this week, that the Maftir that we read, so remember when we read the Torah, and we break the Torah up into seven aliyahs, usually it's seven. Some shuls make it a bit more than that, but the standard is seven. And then we read something right at the end, which is the maftir. Maftir usually is the last little bit of the Torah reading of the week. And then the person who does the haftorah is the one who is called up for the maftir. And this week it's a special maftir. That's the maftir comes from Devarim, which talks about Amalek and the attack of Amalek on the Jewish people and our obligation to remember what Amalek did. God wants us to remember what Amalek did. So let's try and understand what that means a little bit. What is Amalek? Who do they represent? What is their worldview? Why did they attack the Jewish people? And why is it important that we remember that they attacked us, that they tried to destroy us, that there is a constant war, milchama la Hashem ba Amalek midor dor, that there's a clash between those that serve Hashem, the followers of God, and those from Amalek for every generation. So let's try and understand exactly what that means when we return in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
We're discussing the clash of civilizations between Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, servants of God, and Amalek, the nation that wars, that challenges, that tries to defeat any vestige of God in this world. And each time that the Jewish people have faced suffering and hardship in terms of our enemies, it usually is Amalek that are at the root of that throughout the turbulent history of the Jewish people. The verse that we're going to read on Shabbos morning says, Zachor es asher asalacha Amalek b'derech b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. Remember that which Amalek did on the way when you came out of Egypt, asher karcha b'derech, that happened on the way. So Rashi says there's three explanations to this word asher karcha, that happened on the way. So the first explanation is a lashon of mikra. Karcha means like happened by chance, was just coincidental, circumstantial, that took place. And that is, so these three different explanations of karcha really are, they run at the heart of what the clash between Amalek and the Jewish people is. The first one is mikra. Is that Amalek say, Asher karcha b'derech, we happen to be here, you happen to be coming past, and it's all just random and accidental. There's no meaning, there's no depth, there's no purpose, there's no direction of life and humanity and society. Existentially, it's all just random. That's what Amalek say. and they attack us on this point that we say, as the nation who serves God, we say that is not true at all. And there's no mikra in the world. There's no asher karcha b'derech, that it happened by chance. Everything is part of God's plan, that our existence in this world is very much planned out by God, that there's no accidents or coincidences. Everything has a purpose and has a meaning and has a function. And we as human beings all have a vital contribution to make in God's world, and there's meaning to our existence. There's value to the choices we make. There's consequences to our life in this world. So that's a tremendous point of philosophy that we could not be further apart from with Amalek. We are diametrically opposed to one another, that we say this world is about meaning and purpose, and there's no accidents and coincidences, and every neshama who's in this world is supposed to be here. God created us all for a purpose, each one with a unique purpose. Each one has our own journey, as well as our nation. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, have a national journey, and that's all supposed to be part of God's grand plan for this world and for this universe. Amalek say no such thing. It's all random, coincidental, accidental, and there's no purpose to our existence. That's point number one, says Rashi. Asher karcha b'derech. Point number two is a lotion of kar. Kar means cold in Hebrew. Amalek wanted to cool things down a few notches. The Jewish people had just come out of Mitzrayim. We were enthusiastic. We were on fire. We saw God's miracles in Egypt, the 10 plagues. We saw the incredible miracles at the sea with the destruction of the Egyptian army and the sea splitting and the Jewish people coming through. And we were therefore motivated and energized and enthused to serve God with everything we had. And Amalek was saying, just chill out, calm down, don't get too excited about the spiritual stuff and God and meaning and bringing light and morality to the world. Just chill out, you know, don't get too hectic with us over here. That's Amalek's attitude. Cool it down a bit. And Rashi brings the mashal, the parable of our sages, that there's a boiling hot bath, nobody will go into the bath, but one guy goes into the bath. Even though he burns himself, at least he lowers the temperature of the water a few degrees. That's Amalek. We were untouchable when we came out of Mitzrayim. The 10 plagues, the destruction of the world superpower of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, that had all happened. Nobody would come near us. Nobody would approach us, because they knew that God is on our team, that God is on our side, and we are the invincibles, the Jewish people. But Amalek wanted to bring it down a few notches, and therefore, even though they knew they would be, that there was no way they could defeat us with God being with us, but nonetheless it was worth it. Their worldview is, even if we are going to be casualties, and even if we're going to die, it's worthwhile just to lower the intensity of God's awareness in the world. And so they cooled things down. That's number two. So again, the Jewish people and Amalek clash in this area. Our purpose in this world is to be enthused, is to be inspired, is to be motivated to serve God, is to have enthusiasm in the service of God. That's what we're doing here. That's our main focus in the world. Amalek try and take us away from that. Amalek try and distract us and cool us down and prevent us from serving God as we're supposed to. Number three, the third one is Lashon Keri. Lashon Keri is a reference to sexual immorality and impurity. So part of Amalek's worldview is that there's no meaning and no purpose, and there's no reward and punishment, and there's no consequences to our actions. And therefore one can do anything that they want in any given aspect of one's life. And the Jewish people know that that's not true at all. On the contrary, that we are here to live by a higher moral code. We are here to bring the light of God's morality into the world. We are here to have self-control and overcome our lower selves and our physical desires and let our soul be dominant and control our body. Our body is to be subservient to the soul. So that's another area where we clash with Amalek. So we see these three things things that everything's accidental and coincidental, that we shouldn't be too inspired to serve a higher spiritual force, that we have there's no consequences to our actions. We can do what we want when we want. So that's the opposite of the life of a Jew. And that's the clash we have with Amalek, Milchama la Hashem ba Amalek midor dor. That the clash is an eternal one from generation to generation. And Western society today is the contemporary representation of Amalek. And therefore, this fight and the struggle is within all of us against Amalek's worldview and the Torah worldview. And in our modern world today, it's not simple to fight against these forces of Amalek, because constantly we bombarded by these Western values, whether it's through Hollywood or it's through the media or through social media. We constantly are receiving these messages, both consciously and subconsciously, that there's no meaning in life, that there's no purpose, that you can do whatever you want, that you shouldn't be too excited about pursuing spiritual pathways and developing oneself, controlling one's desires. So that is the clash between the Jewish people and Amalek. And that's something we're supposed to remember this week, the week before Purim. Because Purim, obviously, is the story of the Jewish people being confronted by Amalek. Haman was a descendant of Amalek, and Haman wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. And we all know the incredible story of Purim, that through a number of seemingly unconnected events, which all seem to be random and mikra, like Amalek says, but really when we see the whole picture, we see God was orchestrating everything from beginning to end. That was all part of God's plan that resulted in the saving of the Jewish people. God was weaving a tapestry behind the scenes, and at the conclusion we see how God controlled every moment and every circumstance and every event and brought them all together in a magnificent tapestry of our salvation, of saving the Jewish people. So that's the story of Purim, and therefore the Shabbos before Purim we remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people. But there's one more lesson I want to emphasize with regards to what the Torah teaches us about Amalek. The verse, the pasuk says, "V'yomer Moshe, Yoshua, bacha lanu anashim, v'tzei hilachem ba'amalek." So this is actually at the end of Parshas Beshalach. We won't be reading it on Shabbos. This is where the Torah tells us of Amalek's attack. We read on Shabbos where Moshe Rabbeinu's recapping the history of the Jewish people, and he mentions the war with Amalek, but this is actually when it happened, the narrative in the Torah. And it says that Moshe says to Yoshua, to Joshua. Now remember, Joshua is Moses' understudy, Moses' Talmud, his student. He says, "Bachar lanu, choose for us Anashim people, and we'll go and wage war against Amalek according to the commandment of God." So Rashi says, "Bachar lanu," it's a strange expression, isn't it? Choose for us. Because here we have the teacher, we have the leader, we have the prophet Moses, who's, by the way, Moses' Yotzat was yesterday. Zayin Ad is a very holy day in the Jewish calendar. So Yotzat and the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar. And 120 years later, he died on the 7th of Adar. And he was the greatest prophet the world has ever seen. The great leader of the Jewish people who took it out of Mitzrayim and who brought the Torah to, was the conduit who connected God with the Jewish people, and the Torah was given through Moshe. So Moshe says to his understudy, to his student, Joshua, he says, "Bachar lanu, let's choose together." So it seems, why is it we choosing together? Moshe is the leader. Moshe is in charge. Moshe is the one who's going to choose the people who will be in the army to fight Amalek. And remember, in the Jewish army, it's a spiritual army. It's got to be people on a high spiritual level, because it's through the spiritual merits of the Jewish people that we defeat our enemies. So Rashi comments on that expression, "choose for us." He says, "Li ulacha," for me and for you. "Hashvuhu loy." So Moshe equates himself to Yeshua. He brings Yeshua up to his level, and he makes them equals. He makes Yeshua feel like an equal. Continues Rashi. He says, "Mikan amar chachamim," from here, from this verse, our sages teach us, "Yukavod talmidecha chaviv alecha kashilcha," that the honor of your student and the the respect you show to your students should be the same kind of respect that you want for yourself. And everybody wants to be treated in a way, in a dignified way and in a respectful way. So we want that for ourselves. We should do that to our students too. Teach them with that same dignity and respect and love. And Rav Huttner says an incredible thing. Rav Huttner says, what has this got to do with Amalek? So God, Moses says to his student Joshua, let us choose. He makes himself equal to show the respect he has for Joshua. And the Torah is teaching us that's how we teach students, is that we teach them with, if we have a mutual respect, so then the channels of communication and learning are opened. But what's this got to do with Amalek? Why does the Torah teach us this lesson when it comes to Amalek? And Rav Huttner says, the most amazing, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, one of the great rabbinic leaders of the 20th century, he says that because anything that prevents the transferal of the tradition from one generation to the next, that's called Amalek. Anything that doesn't allow us to ensure that our tradition transfers and that the links in the chain continue all the way from Sinai to Mashiach, anything that is an obstacle and blocks that, that's Amalek. Amalek's job is to stop our tradition continuing from generation to generation. And that's the war, Milchama la Hashem ba Amalek midor dor. And that's the battle and the struggle from generation to generation with Amalek. So therefore it's vital that over here, if we're talking about Amalek, is the one that stops, is the blockage, is the barrier that prevents us from sharing the tradition one generation to the next. So it's here that we must learn the key to successfully transferring the tradition. And that is the respect and honor and love that a teacher should have with the student, with the Talmud. And that's a beautiful principle, both in terms of parenting and in terms of teaching. Well, a parent is also a teacher. A parent is trying to teach the tradition to his and her children. And likewise, a teacher is teaching the students. So the only way the goal of the parent and teacher is going to succeed is through loving that child. Especially we see it. It's very apparent in our generation. And we see this teaching is actually consistent within Judaism, because we understand, we know that, remember the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, we're approaching Purim, Pesach, and then we'll have Sfira, we count the Omer, but we have a mourning period in Sfira, because the students of Rabbi Akiva, they, 24,000 of them, died between Pesach and Shavuos. And the question is, the Gemara says, why did they die? Shelo nagu kavod zeh bezeh, because they didn't show each other sufficient respect and dignity to one another. So the Rav Aaron Kotler says, in Mishnah to Rabbi Aaron, he says, why now? Why is it before Shavuos? It could have been that they died before Rosh Hashanah or before Yom Kippur, and that would always be a motivation for the generations, that when we see we don't treat each other right, you know, the consequence, we need to do tshuva. But no, they died before Shavuos. Rav Aaron Kotler says, because it's emphasizing this teaching, that they were not worthy to continue the chain of tradition and to teach it to the next generation, because they didn't teach each, didn't have respect one for the other. And because that is the main issue when it comes to transferring the Torah to the next generation, is that love and is that respect. And the students and our children, they know if we love them. They're very perceptive, and they see whether we're just going through the motions, or and whether we find them frustrating or irritating, or whether we actually do love them, and whether we actually do want to be there for them and communicate to them that which we feel is vital for the purpose of the existence in this world. So that's Rav Aaron says very beautifully. That's why it's Dafka before Shavuos. Specifically, the students of Rabbi Akiva died before Shavuos, because that's the whole issue over here, is they didn't merit to teach the Torah. And in order to teach the Torah, you have to have honor one for the other. And the theme of Shavuos, of course, is Kabbalah Satorah. And the Maharal says a similar thing. The great holy Maharal, the Maharal of Prague. So he says, why did the students of Rabbi Akiva die? What did they do that was so severe? So it's not like they killed anybody. It's not like they stole. It's not like they broke Shabbos or that they ate on Yom Kippur. What was so severe about their behavior? And he says the Mara on that Gemara in Yevamos and Samach Beis, he says an incredible thing, incredible line. It's worth you while listening just to hear this beautiful sentence of the Maharal. He says, "Kasher noeg lechaveroi kavod davaze etzemachaim." So when a person treats their fellow with kavod, that is the essence of life. When we are treat others with respect and decency, that's life. That is that validates a person. That makes the person feel important. And ever, you know, you walk into a place, you walk into a shul or you walk into a function and nobody greets you. Nobody says anything to you. You feel terrible. You feel like, you know, is my life worthwhile? And when people do acknowledge us and recognize us and lift us and treat us with dignity and honor, so that gives us life. That's life. So that's what the moral says. The reason why they died is they didn't treat each other with honor. So they took away life. And when we do treat each other with honor, so that's etzem achayim. That is life. So we therefore see that with regards to Amalek, there has to be this teaching, says Rav Avraham Kotler, says Rav Hutner, is specifically with Amalek because that's the key, the secret to the chain of transmission is love and respect in the way we treat each other. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
We're discussing how important it is that parents show their children a deep, sincere love. And only through that relationship will the Torah be transferred to the next generation. And a love is also necessary between a teacher and a student, and that too is essential for the teacher to teach Torah to their Talmidim, to their student. And that's why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva passed away, because they took away Etzem Achaim, says the Maharal, from their fellow by not treating them with kavod. And that's why we see also that when the Jewish people received the Torah at Mount Sinai, it says V'yicha neged ahar, that they encamped opposite the mountain, and the encamp is a lotion of singular, is an expression of singular, not plural, because says Rashi, ki'ishichad b'levichad, they were like one person with one heart. So the unity, the respect, the harmony within the Jewish people is essential for us to fulfill our purpose to receive the Torah and to pass it down to the next generation. I have been mentioning in the last couple of months the incredible trip that I went on with my wife and my parents to Poland and Lithuania. We joined Rabbi Pesach Kron, and we were with a group of people with Rabbi Kron and went to the very moving places throughout Poland and Lithuania. One of the places we went to was the city of Krakow. In Krakow, one goes to a shul called the Ramah Shul. Rav Moshe Isserles was the great leader of Ashkenazi Jewry. His commentary is on the Shulchan Aruch. And where there's any change between the psak of the Beis Yosef, of the author of the Shulchan Aruch, so the Ramah mentions it, and he's obviously essential to the life of every Ashkenazi Jew. The Ramah had a Talmud, he had a student. His student's name was the Levush. Levush also wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and Levush says in Siman Taf Kuf Pei Dalet Halacha Beis, listen to this incredible comment of the Levush. Levush says, "Yesh mekoymas shenohagim liten aliyah lebal tokeh." On Rosh Hashanah, there are certain shuls that have a custom, have a tradition to give an aliyah to the person who's blowing shofar for the community. She'al yedei zeh, because through this, Yeushar koicho sheyachol litkua yafe, says the Levush, that as a result of giving an aliyah to the person who's blowing shofar, so that person will be invigorated and will be validated. It's a big shul. We've got hundreds of people. There's only 5 aliyot on Rosh Hashanah, and we chose you to blow to get an aliyah. And that person will therefore feel validated and feel invigorated, and that will encourage them to blow shofar with enthusiasm and do so correctly. That's what the Levush says. Isn't that an incredible thing? So we see that a compliment, we see that an acknowledgement, we see that a treating others with dignity goes a long way. And that is essential when it comes to education, and that is essential when it comes to parenting. Now listen to this incredible story that I heard from Rabbi Pesach Kron with regards to the power of a compliment and how far that can go. Rabbi Kron is close to Rabbi Meir Zlotovitz, who's the founder of Art Scroll. Art Scroll is very familiar to all of us. That is the publication house that has printed so many classic works in English that are vital for an Orthodox Jew, for an observant Jew. And the Rav Meir Zlotovitz was a young man. He was a graphic artist, very talented graphic artist. And he had a friend. His friend's name was Meir Fogel. Meir Fogel passed away at a very young age. The year was 1975. And Meir Zlotovitz thought he wanted to do something le'ilu nishmasoi, as an elevation of the soul of his friend Meir Fogel. And he thought he's going to write a commentary on Megillas Esther. So Purim's coming soon, and Megillas Esther is obviously very important when it comes to Purim. And he thought he's going to write a commentary which would be of benefit to many people. And he dedicated in memory of his friend Meir Fogel. It'll be La'aliyas Nishmaso, an elevation of his soul. As Jews, we know the soul lives forever, even though the body dies and returns to the ground from where it came. The soul will live forever. The soul goes on to the next step, the next stop in its journey. And so he wanted to do something in order to enhance and assist the soul of his dear friend Meir Fogel. And he thought this was a good gesture. And so he goes ahead and he writes this commentary. And when he's finished with it, he thought he'd distribute it to a number of people in his circles. And, you know, that would be that. He took it to Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen's a great rabbi. He's alive in the world today. He lives in New York, really one of the great leaders of the Orthodox world. Rabbi David Cohen saw this commentary of Megillas Esther, and he said, wow. He said, this is superb. What are you going to do with it? He said, no, I'm going to print a couple of copies and give to some of my friends, some of those that are people that I know. He says, you got to print this professionally, and you got to distribute it to the Jewish world, to Klal Yisrael. Says this is just too good not to get out there to the Jewish people. And he said, you've got a company, don't you? Your company is called Art Scroll, because what Meir Zlotovitz did was he would actually design scrolls, and you know, that would be given out at dinners and things like that. That was his business. It was called Art Scroll. He would make an artistic work of a scroll. And he said, so publish it under the name of your company. And he said, you get somebody to write a good introduction. And that's what he did. His friend was Rav Nosson Sherman, a great Talmud Chacham at the time. He wrote what they called an overview to Megillas Esther. They printed it under the company name. And in 1 week, 20,000 Megillas Esthers were printed and distributed to the Jewish people. And that was the beginning. One thing led to another. And ultimately, we ended up with Art Scroll, which has really changed the face of the Jewish world in the 20th and 21st centuries. I don't think there's a Jewish home, a traditional Jewish home, that anywhere in the world that doesn't have an Art Scroll book in it, whether it's the Sidur, whether it's the Machzor, whether it's the Art Scroll Chumash, whether it's the many other hundreds of fantastic publications that have come through Art Scroll. And all of that from a compliment, from one compliment that Rabbi David Cohen gave to Meir Zlotovitz. And an amazing thing, we've just had the Siyum HaShas, and many have been talking about it. There were 90,000 people in the MetLife Stadium in New York celebrating the Siyum. In fact, on the new cycle of Daf Yomi, they're finishing brachas on Shabbos. So the first Masechta is almost done already. And at that Siyum, he had 90,000 people, probably around the world. We had thousands and thousands of Jews finishing Shas. It's not an exaggeration to say it's likely that most of them finished it through Art Scroll, through the Art Scroll Shas. So you see, from one compliment, how many thousands of Jews have been assisted and have been inspired in their Yiddishkeit. So the power of a compliment, and the importance of validating others should not be underestimated, should be something that we are all working on. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So let's conclude with the last short minutes that we have to talk a little bit about Purim. So as we've mentioned, this Shabbos is Shabbos Zachor. We read from Zachor. It's a Torah commandment. We all should be going to a shul to hear the laning of the maftir, men and women, and fulfill the mitzvah, the commandment to hear the Torah reading of Zachor. Remember what Amalek did. We then have Monday is Tanis Esther. It's a fast of Esther. It's the 13th of Adar. 13th of Adar was the day when Amalek drew lots. Haman drew lots. And he decided that through the lots that he drew, that it fell out on the 13th of Adar, which falls out on Monday. And that was the day he designated to destroy the Jewish people. Mordechai and Esther told all of the Jewish people to fast on this day, and in the merit of the fast and the tshuva of the Jewish people, to go out and destroy Amalek, which is what they did. And we were, thank God, successful. There was a turnaround, and in the most unlikely outcome, when it was against all odds, the Jewish people defeated Amalek and were victorious. So therefore, we also fast on Monday, on Tanis Esther. That takes us into Purim on Monday night. And then we have to fulfill, we should all be conscious and aware of fulfilling the four mitzvahs of Purim, the four commandments that we have to carry out on Purim. So the first one is the listening to the Megillah. We should hear the Megillah both night, Monday night and Tuesday in the day. So contact your local Orthodox synagogue and arrange and find out the times. Look it up on Facebook and find out the times of Megillah around Johannesburg. We should all be hearing the Megillah being read both on Monday night and on Tuesday morning. We then have three other mitzvahs for Purim. We have a mitzvah called Matanas Le'Avyonim, that one should give a contribution, a charity to those that are in need. And that is in order to enable people to also have a Purim Seudah to celebrate Purim. People that are less fortunate than ourselves should also not be deprived of this opportunity to celebrate Purim. And therefore, one should give Matanas Le'Avyonim. And as we have just heard the advert on Chai FM, that the Chevra Kedisha offer that service to us. And it's a wonderful recipient of our tzedakah, the Chevra Kedisha, as we all know. And they will help us fulfill the mitzvah. So one should give enough money to two poor people to have a Purim Seudah. That's about 50 rand each. So everybody should be giving 100 rand tzedakah. And one can do so through the Chev, look online, see how one can do it. And they will distribute it on the day and help one fulfill the mitzvah of Matanas Le'Avyonim. We then have the third mitzvah of Purim is Shalach Manosh Ish El Re'ehu, that we send a gift one person to another. We all obligated to send one gift to a fellow Jew. And it's a gift that should be ideally with two different food items. They don't have to be two different brochas, but there should be two different types of food, and they shouldn't be raw. They should be in an edible state that enhances a person's Purim Seudah. And they can be a drink as well, a drink or two different drinks or two different pieces of cake, types of cake, whatever it is, two different types of food. We should give to each and every one of us should give to one, at least one other person. That's called Shalach Manos. Sending a gift to another. And that's to create harmony and unity, and very much in line with what we've been saying, that the way to defeat Amalek and the way to ensure that Torah remains alive and is transferred to the next generation is through the Achdus, the unity, the harmony, the friendship within the Jewish people. And finally, the last mitzvah of Purim is the Sudas Purim. We all obligated on Tuesday afternoon to have a Purim Seudah. One should wash, have bread. One should preferably have meat as well, and have a meal in honor of the celebration of the victory of Purim that took place 356 BCE before the Common Era at the times of Mordechai and Esther. And one can have a Purim Seudah at home. One can join a communal Seudah. Many communities, many shuls have their Seudah. Our Kehila, Sunny Road Kehila, has a communal Seudah. And it's an important time to celebrate with our friends, with the Jewish people, there is drinking at a Purim Suda, and the drinking is supposed to bring out the holiness within a person, supposed to elevate us and remove those inhibitions in order to connect to higher spiritual level. But all the poskim say, all the great rabbis say, that if by drinking a person is going to be inappropriate and behave in a animalistic way, definitely one shouldn't drink on Purim. Then one should drink a little bit and have a bit of a sleep, and then you also fulfill the obligation of not knowing the difference between Baruch Murachai and Arur Haman. So those are the four mitzvahs of Purim. Again, just to mention them, we have the Megillah night and day, Monday night, Tuesday day. We have the giving to tzedakah to two poor people. We have the gifts to at least one other person. We have to give a gift. And finally, the Purim Suda, to enjoy a Purim meal, a Purim banquet on Tuesday afternoon. So wishing everybody a Freilich Purim. And may we once again see the great lights and saving of the Jewish people by Hashem's miracles. And that will bring in the time of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.